We begin our service in the name of God transcendent, God immanent, and God omnipresent, the Holy Living Trinity. Amen. And it is a blessing to be together today for worship on this beautiful Sunday here in Austin, and from this sacred space to your sacred space, wherever you might be and whenever you might watch this service, we welcome you in the love of God and receive your intentions and thoughts of love back to us. Just a couple of announcements for us this morning as we gather. All these are on the screen as you watch, and these are also in your wonderful bulletin that you can take home with you as a resource. There's a class every Friday, although it's not this Friday, called Exploring the Mystical Dimensions of Christianity. It's online on Zoom at 12:05, and we're covering different topics that come up in Christian mysticism. And then we have a two-day centering prayer retreat coming up on November 12th and 13th. That's a Friday and a Saturday. And you can register for that online at the church website. But it begins at 8:30 in the morning and concludes at 4 p.m. But it's in person. So if you're looking for that community experience of praying in the silence with others here in the sanctuary, I really encourage you to explore that. We call it a commuter centering prayer retreat because you'll go home and come back. And then we do this just a couple times a year. It's the Gurdjieff music. If you've never experienced the Gurdjieff music, I really suggest this is the one to come to. It's an evening that's set with candlelight and Billy and the pianos here in the center. And we have four readings that intersperse the five different songs that Billy plays, all composed by Gurdjieff and de Hartmann. Sacred music for a very sacred time of year. But in particular, it's become a bit of a something that we look forward to in a strange way of remembering the death days of the beloved people Wayne Teasdale, Gurdjieff, Thomas Keating, and Bernadette Roberts, all of whom died within a month or a little over a month period of time. And so we remember them with these special readings by each of them. Anyway, that's Sunday, November 7th at 6 p.m. It's a Sunday evening, which is a little different than our normal Tuesday evening for Gurdjieff music. That's all the announcements I have for us formally, but I do encourage you to take a look at the bulletin and take this home as a resource. It's also available as an online PDF for those of you who are remote, and you can access that that PDF on our Friday email that comes out every week, which you can sign up for on the church website. Today we'll be talking about an extraordinary concept called Christogenesis, something we've been learning about through the teaching and synthesizing work of Ilya Delio. Many of us were perhaps at the retreat online yesterday, so we'll ponder that and have opportunity for community sharing. Let's take a moment now in the silence. You've made the choice to be here. You've made great effort to get up this morning on this cozy day to be here with us. Thank you. Why are you here? What do you need? Ask Spirit to give to you what it is that you're needing, and even what you don't even know you need. May it be so for each of us and all who partake. Amen.
Please join us in remembering and invoking the Holy Spirit with our song, Holy Spirit, Come.
Holy Spirit.
Please stand, for the gospel in one word is love. From Ephesians chapter 5. Be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things people feel fragmented. Once you lived in darkness, but now that you live in the light, you are in the light. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. Try to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for everything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, Scripture says, "Sleeper, awake, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." May this reading nourish our journeys deeper into wisdom and love. Amen.
I give thanks to God for the gift of Deborah Hale last week, who led us in our service. I'm grateful to her and to all the team here that makes services possible, and especially to our media guys in the back who make it possible to experience this service all around the world. So big gratitude for Mark and Jeff and your team. We were watching the service from Telluride last Sunday, which is tough duty, but I need the vacation, and I need another week, so I'm going to Wisconsin. So pray for me. I appreciate the gift of the vacation I'm given here at the church, and need it a lot, so it refills my tank. Feels like we've been going nonstop for 2 years. It's just been an incredible journey. and learning a lot and growing a lot, and so blessed by the new miracles in my life and the gift of this community. Just a little housekeeping for the family. You know, we spend a lot of the year talking about themes related to the annual aim of Truth Opens the Eye of Our Hearts, and this, the cleansing and the healing of the emotional center. And it was a big wish. But I know from my own life, I've had moments this year that have so shocked me and opened my eyes, opened me to the truth of my being, and helped unload emotional stuff in my emotional center that I'm so grateful for. I began the year wondering what kind of second force we would get. You know, what kind of, you have this big wish for a big aim to deal with the healing of the emotional center. And I just knew stuff was going to come up for people. And it has, and certainly has for me. But a lot of these Sundays that we've been concentrating on different themes related to the annual aim, we've concluded a lot of that. And so now for the month of November, we're going to give opportunity for big community conversations starting today and continuing on. So next Sunday, we'll be having a conversation about kind of the gratitude and the appreciation for the Journey School and all its facets. And Marianne will be leading that, and it'll be a very meaningful opportunity to hear from several people about what the Journey School is and how it has blessed them this year and how it has been helping them on their spiritual journey. And it's a moment of accountability for the church family to see, you know, we have this wish for the church to have the Journey School. It's in the bylaws that we will have a school, that the church will have a school to support our aims. And this new iteration of the school, the first one was the 10th Man School, and now this new iteration is called the Journey School. They're very different iterations, but they have a similar wish. And of course, COVID and the camera and Zoom changed the whole world, changed everything for us with the Journey School. And I look forward to that conversation next Sunday on what the Journey School is meaning to a group of us. Then on November 7th and November 14th, we're going to have two Sundays back-to-back with the intention that a lot of us are going to share during the sermon time, basically along the theme of a sense of gratitude to God for anything that you have experienced through this season of the pandemic. My sense is that we're on the other side, that the light is really strong on the end of the tunnel. And this is a moment to just celebrate, a moment to say thank you to God for all that we've been through as a community and what we've learned, what it's been like for you personally, what it's been like for the community. And I hope for abundant, really honest, forthright sharing in the community for those two Sundays. Also on November 7th is New Member Sunday, so we're going to induct, I think, three new people into the community, which is such a sacred moment for the church, something we didn't do last year because of COVID. Then on November the 21st, Sunday the November 21st, about a month from now, we're going to have a community reading conversation. This will be the final conversation we have about Cynthia Bergeau's book, Eye of the Heart. And so we had one earlier in the spring, and this will be our final conversation on that book. So if you haven't yet read the book, you've got a month to do so. But I know a lot of us have engaged that book and have found it really, really useful, and encourage you to ponder a few tidbits that you'd like to share. And we welcome everyone's voice. You know, there's no one way to read this book, and there's no one way to agree with it or disagree with it. And then, of course, on November 28th, we begin the first Sunday of Advent. It's hard to believe. And Advent is such a sacred season here in every church. I just love Advent. And we'll have our Christ wreath here with the Advent candles. And that will begin our preparation, our journey into the season of Christmas and all the joys that brings to us. I have a very strong wish, and it's seconded by Sharon Johnson, the director of The Glorious Impossible, that Glorious Impossible will happen in person somehow. It promises to be a little different than normal, but that's the big wish. And also, we're not going to be doing our Thanksgiving dinner, that traditional dinner we've had at the church this year either. So just some housekeeping details to share with you. How's that all land? Yes. Well, we'll keep you informed through the emails and the bulletin as well. But it promises to be a very meaningful time. Today, let's have a conversation about what we experienced with Ilya Dilio's visit. Some of us were on the Thursday evening event, Zoom call. Some of us were on the retreat yesterday. And I'm sure not all of you even know who Ilya Dilio is. Ilya Dilio is a Franciscan sister who's written a bunch of books. I only brought five of the probably seven or eight books she's written. You can look her up. 20? Oh my gosh. Well, she should be writing books because she has so much to say, and maybe too much, but you really, really have to digest her. And I would say just her writing is so clear and coherent and easier to access than sometimes the PowerPoint presentations on Zoom. It is the nature of how we're doing things these days. But I know when she was here in person, you could really feel her being in her presence, and it was just a different experience than the Zoom experience. But nevertheless, it was profound. And I'm curious what you heard, what spoke to you. And just to prime the pump here today, just a bit of a reminder, I have her PowerPoint that she sent, so that will be sent out to everyone who registered for the event. If you want to go through them, they're really quite incredible. But here's the definition of Christogenesis. And really, it's a reworking of a couple concepts that are already out there. There's really nothing new in what she's saying. She's synthesizing a lot of things that other people have said, but she's saying it in a different way for an era and a time using scientific language. And it's very helpful. So she says, Christogenesis is the process towards cosmic wholeness. Christogenesis is the process towards cosmic wholeness. And there's a lot in there, obviously. I mean, can we even fathom what cosmic wholeness is? it's this increasing beautification and connectivity and of relationality and love into every little cell and quantum quark of the universe. And that we're required as a part of this process, and that we get to be a part of receiving this process of becoming love itself. That would be another way of saying what she means by the word Christogenesis. It's really love coming into the finest of forms, the tiniest of form, and this particular form here, the human being. And the way God is doing this, she's making the case that it's by way of evolution or this process of development that's intentional, that's intelligent, that's grounded in love and the beingness of God, that God is, that God is evolution, that God is this journey. And it's really quite an open way of thinking about God, very different from the old ways of thinking of God as the old big man upstairs on a throne with the white beard, you know, with the sun next to him and a bird hovering nearby. This concept of God is very, very fruitful and useful for all of us. She says that we're moving toward greater complexity, unity, and wholeness. That evolution is making us crazy because things are getting more complicated, but at the same time, they're getting more complicated, they're getting more diverse, they're also getting more unified and whole, that this is the possibility. What I wanted to ask her is, what's the risk if we don't? You know, what does that look like? Do we regress as a species? And I think if we had time to hear her talk about that, she would probably say that this is our moment. This is our moment of possibility to receive the gift of what has been given, that we would use it and evolve further and further into love and in oneness and unity and wholeness and not miss the moment and devolve into hatred and division and fear and that complexification that is basically cancer. It's the opposite of life. It's a kind of growth, but it doesn't lead to fecundity. Doesn't lead to fruitfulness. Cancer grows. And you might even call it, I hate using these words because they're just so loaded and they don't really get at it, But it's the dark side. It's the dark side. Cancer is the dark side, to a certain extent. It thinks it's living, but it's not. It brings death. And that's exactly what the scripture said, that Marianne just read for us, that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness can't deal with it. That's what radiation does. It shines into the darkness of the cancer cell. So I hope that's a very practical image to just sum up what this is talking about, that this is the movement of light, life, and love into its fullness and of immense possibilities, and we're a part of it. She says, it's God drawing the universe to greater consciousness through love. Well, who can disagree with that? And you don't need to be a Christian to affirm that. That God, or mind, you could even say, or spirit, is drawing the universe to greater consciousness through love. And therefore, Jesus became the way in which this evolutionary progress was manifested for us to see what it looks like for a human being to unite the divine with the human into that fullness of responsibility for other people and self-giving and allowing the system to do what it does. It crucified him. And that power of life and love then raises him back. That nothing can kill love, especially selfless love. That everything gets transformed, that matter and energy are the same thing, that our lives, when we offer them to God, it gets transformed into something else. And the possibility is exquisite, and Jesus is a model of that for each of us. She says that Jesus emerges, with Jesus, a new structure of existence emerges. A new consciousness is demonstrated. Certainly within Judaism, a new consciousness was demonstrated by Jesus. And certainly within Western civilization, the Greek intellectual world had never really seen the model of a Jesus before, claiming that to be the union of fully human and fully divine nature in one being. There were gods who came down to earth, but they weren't fully human. So you can go to India and hear something of this. So this wasn't so new in India, but for the Western traditions and the monotheism of Judaism, it was new. Jesus emerges as a new structure of existence, a new consciousness. And she said that all evolution is local. All evolution and development of consciousness is local. Well, that may explain, you know, why is Austin so thriving and abundant? Why is Austin a place where entrepreneurs come and birth companies, and where churches like this can be birthed? Why is that? This church could never have been birthed, I think, anywhere else in the world. Very few places in the world it could have been birthed. Maybe Boulder, Fairfield, Iowa, I don't know. Why is Austin such a fecund place? Why do the world leaders and thinkers come to Austin and gather to talk and to think? Why has this become a convergence place? There are places that seem to have an evolutionary openness to them that other places don't. I know I'm going up to Milwaukee later this afternoon, where I grew up, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. When I land in Milwaukee, I can feel a different energetic quality. Nothing against Milwaukee, but I can feel it. And if that's true on that scale, just the sensation of culture, oh my goodness, think about it when it comes to human beings. So there's a certain responsibility that we have to use the gifts we have been given in the place where we are to bloom. And certainly Jesus did that in that time and place. For whatever reason, it was an axial moment of possibility for the development of human consciousness. And then she says that, and this was a big takeaway for me, and I've got a couple other takeaways, but I'll wait to hear what you all have to say. And she said that the only inner transformation can escape cosmic entropy. Wow. Only inner transformation can escape cosmic entropy. So entropy is a little bit less of a threat than cancer. You know, cancer is the dark side. Entropy is kind of this neutral blah place where there's no fruitfulness, or there's certainly a regression, or the lost moment of time, or the lost moment of possibility, missing the moment, missing your chance, and you slip back into entropy. And so contemplative practices that foster inner transformation can escape cosmic entropy and therefore participate in this process of the Christification or the Christogenesis, or helping the universe manifest love more and more and more. And people will try anything else but the silence, especially Christians. You know, Christianity and churches will try anything else, every other program, every other product, every other curriculum, but most churches won't tolerate the silence. And it turns out that the silence, that meditative practice, regular meditative practice, is the ticket into this cooperation at that energetic level, that quantum level, to spirit. And some of the big presuppositions she had that were very, very useful is that essentially, and Haley asked this question, or I thought it was very insightful, you know, what is energy? If energy is at the heart of matter, what's at the heart of energy? And she basically said it was spirit. And spirit is essentially the intelligence and the intentionality and the quality of light that's manifesting from God, source, and that it's creating something that we get to connect up with as the ground of receptivity, that we get to consent to being receivers of this spirit. And therefore, these physical bodies become so important in the spiritual life. That a big takeaway for me was that physicality is spirituality, that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this is huge for us to recover, as is planet Earth and nature. And so, you know, when you go out outside and look at this gorgeous tree here in the front yard, there's two gorgeous trees in the front courtyard here on this side of the bridge. And you look at that tree and you touch that tree, you hold that tree, hug that tree. That's the union of the divine logos or spirit with physical matter. So there you've got Christogenesis to a certain extent. You've got theandric, theocosmic matter right there, energy and spirit in the form of a tree, a living tree. How is that different from you or me? Well, the treeness is united to the godness or the spiritness, and it does its thing. It flourishes. But what makes us unique and different from the tree, there's a oneness with God in that tree, no doubt about it. The godding that is occurring through that tree is exquisite. But when it comes to human beings, the godding that is happening with you and me is different, because we don't have tree nature, we have human nature. And human nature is distinct, unique, and beautiful, which makes every one of us sacred. And that human nature, my gosh, is what we're here for, to not just be human. We're a little bit lower than the angels, but we're higher than the animals. We're human. We've got this human nature. It's a mystery what human nature is and what happens to it when we die, where it comes from before we're born. But whatever human nature is, it's this quality that's the same for all of us. It's the whatness that enables the who-ness. My who-ness is different than your who-ness. There's never going to be another Peter Traben Haas ever, ever again. This life or next life, there's never going to be another you. The who-ness is different, but the whatness, that human nature, is the same for all of us. And so, when my human nature, that this Peterness gets to use, gets hooked up more and more with spirit energy, it can produce a one-of-a-kind thing forever. And so don't miss out on the opportunity of giving your life more and more to this God thing, of uniting it with your human nature. Because it's a one-of-a-kind thing. It's also a class, the class of humans, just like the class of trees, but that particular tree is sacred. You know, you can just kind of talk about trees, but when you love one particular tree, you cry when it's cut down. You can talk about the class of human beings, but when your beloved dies or suffers of cancer, you cry. And so this oneness and the manyness is very, very important, that the particularity amongst the universality is so important. That is to say, you and I have a gift of offering our once-in-a-lifetime experience to God to be transformed into love itself more and more and more. This, I think, is something of what she's saying. I could be completely off here, but I'm wondering what you heard. There's two microphones here on either side, so here's the plan. You just come forward. You can form a line if you'd like, and the microphone will be on, so you don't have to touch it. Please don't touch the microphones. And then when I call upon you, just go ahead and share, and just stand nice and close to that microphone, and that'll be helpful. Who has the courage to be first one up to bat? Just come up and form the line then, those of you who wish to share. We'll start with Valerie.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can. We can. Yes.
Okay, well, yeah. I just prayed for courage that I would even do this, so I have no idea how it's going to come out because there's too many thoughts racing in my being, in my heart, and in my mind. So I'm just going to go with what comes
out. Yeah, just breathe in deeply. Ground yourself under the floor. There you go.
Well, Thursday night when she spoke, I couldn't wait for Saturday. And reason was I couldn't wait until she started talking about God and Christ. That's what I wanted to hear about. And so when I attended yesterday, when she was doing all the science stuff, which interests me, but I need more teaching in that area and understanding a lot. But I'm interested in the heart. I'm interested in anything that talks about the heart and with Christ. And so when God and Christ and the heart are involved, then I awaken strongly. And all I can say is when I went to sleep last night, well, I just soaked in this all day yesterday. All I could do was go to the balcony and sit outside and look at that tree. And that music was starting to know me that was playing. And so I was letting the tree know me. And we were starting to communicate some. And so I love those things. But then in Lectio Divina, when I sat there, a weightiness landed, a huge weight. And it came to me, I could feel the rolling of it. Came to me like a freight train. I don't know what it is, why it's inside me stirring so deeply. I have no idea, but I've been gripped. And I know when I'm gripped, I know that feel. And I know when the Spirit is moving me forward into this newness that's coming with, I feel power and strength. I feel whatever's occurring for us is very huge and big, but I'm not nervous. I know that this community and this leadership and all the presence and being and mind of God and wisdom will formulate what needs to occur. Mm-hmm. So I'm so excited about this paradigm change. Whatever the shift is that is occurring, that is upon us right now, I'm so grateful for. I had not heard Ilio very much. So in fact, this morning when I got up, I said, I know I have one book. And I thought, I need to look into this. What am I being called to her? Or what's there for me? But I'm very excited to start reading some of her material. And as you said, it's more digestible. So I'm very grateful that it's more digestible because that will really help me. And anyone who talks about the heart and Christ, I'm on board with that person, yeah. That ministry. Thank you.
Thank you, Valerie. I honor your earnest, hungry heart for God. It's a beautiful thing. Thank you. Mary, we'll go to Steve on this side and then Mary Leah.
Don't touch the microphone. Okay. I was struck, what really came through from Ilya's talk was when we talk about God omnipresent and immanent and transcendent, the transcendence of God seems more permeable. And it's sort of what Cynthia talked about in that imaginal realm, that interface between what's on the other side and us here. And how we impact God by our presence and our divinity, inner divinity. And that conveys to me an awesome sense of responsibility I mean, feeling like we're responsible for God in a way. That two-way street, we always used to visualize it as God comes down from above. It's up to us to engage with God's presence, but that it can keep going further up. So that really sat with me, and I've been pondering that since yesterday.
Thank you. The two-way street is a neat analogy, that God is affected by us. Needs us, she said. God needs us. Mary Leah.
Thank you for inviting Ilya, and thank you for inviting this conversation. I think that that's really a wonderful blessing for the community. On Thursday night, I was watching Ilya from a hotel room in Houston, and the image that came to me was I was a third grader learning my multiplication tables, and Ilya Delio arrived with integral and differential calculus for me. It was a little bit daunting, but with some directed attention and leaning in, I was able to at least kind of have some ideas land and have a little bit of... have a positive influence. But what I wanted to say was, I think that these conversations are what's going to take us out of our intellectual side grappling with Ilya and bring it down into our emotional and into our moving centers. Because as we listen to each other, we start to apply what others heard to ourselves, and we can turn that knowledge into understanding by trying it on in our being. So I'd like to offer two things that that came to me that have helped me move it out of the intellectual realm. The first thing is, if I think of matter and spirit and mind as like an intersecting Venn diagram, three circles, what I came to after listening on Thursday night was that those circles have more overlap than I previously conceived. So when I think of mind and matter, I see the intersection and I can understand that, but what Ilya brought to me is that those circles are really quite convergent, that they are truly the same thing. Mind and matter and spirit are truly the same thing. I found that very powerful, to think that rather than living from that small intersecting place, that I'm living from that big, much bigger place. And that was really, really powerful. The other thing that came to me, at least as a reminder, was the Eisenberg principle, the notion that our observation of something is actually what makes it matter. And in a way, there's a play on words there, that makes it matter, doesn't it? So I'm thinking of how we might apply that in our own realm, not in necessarily the physics realm, but that principle is also the observer effect, that as I look at something, I interact with it and I change it. And that to me is exactly what the three steps of our work of inner Christianity are. That in my bringing my attention and my awareness and my observation as the observer to this one called Mary Leah, I'm actually creating that matter. I'm creating that experience. I'm incarnating right there in that moment. And similarly to what you said about the tree, the treeness is there, it's true, it's sacred. The self-observation is a sacred event. In fact, you might even say it's a sacred duty. That is what's making spirit manifest, is my self-observation, my non-identification, and my returning to that intersection of matter and mind and spirit, that third step. So that parallel between our work, the big W work that we do, and what she's bringing, those ideas are the same, they're just packaged differently, and leaning in can really help you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I often think that, I appreciate what you shared, Mary Leah, it's very meaningful. You know, if you read Emily Cady's book, Lessons in Truth, the unity tradition that this church is founded upon through Tim and Barbara Cook, Emily Cady's saying the same thing, that this Ilya Delia's new science is bringing to Christianity in many ways, so that what we hold in mind happens in kind. It's very practical. Thank you. Anyone else wish to share? Yes. Diane, is it?
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I wanted to comment on something you said, Peter, because I didn't hear the speaker the other day about vibrational energy in Austin. Because I come from a background, a very small little town in Michigan, 500 people, and through a dream, I ended up in Falls Church, Virginia, right outside D.C. The whole energy changed. And it was very interesting. I used to say, get on the beltway and go round and round and round and get off and get back on. It was a whole energy shift. And then, because my daughter lives here, but I was led here. And so you were commenting about the energy of Austin, and it's palpable. And it's, and I love this saying that I heard years ago from a pastor. The sign of God is that which takes us into places we did not plan to go.
Mm.
And so I just feel the energy here, that I was led here, the energy of this church. I was divinely led here. And so I just wanted to comment on that, that we are here for a purpose. We're in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, amen. Welcome to our community.
Thank
you. And may it be your community too.
Yeah.
That takes you and wakes you. others, yes, Haley. And then I think it's Tamara.
Well, it's interesting because I just really starting to understand quantum physics better, and I was looking into it from the homily and from Mary Leah's perspective of understanding how our observations of something actually changes it. But yesterday, it was such a revelation, and it's mind-blowing to me and heart-opening simultaneously, this idea that we are matter, and that, as you stole my thunder, but this idea of being matter that's made up of cells, that's made up of molecules, that's made up of atoms, that's made up of these particles, and those particles are just fundamental energy that is just infinite possibility and potentiality, and that energy is, as she explained it, that is divine energy, that is spirit. And so our spirit is not just some kind of thing, it's the ground of our physical being is spirit, which is just amazing. And then knowing how we're constantly regenerating, just biologically recreating ourselves all the time, and that's divine energy being able to express and evolve and show up new each day. I mean, that's mind-blowing to me.
It is, yes.
I've never had that level of integration. Like Mary Leah said, the concentric, it's not a little overlay. It's fundamental at this core. So that's exciting. That's just, I never had that explained in that way before. So thank you for introducing her to me.
Well, yes. Well, and that interaction that you had with Ilya was one of the highlights for me of the whole thing, because I've never heard someone say it so clearly like that. And if you think about the different bodies that Christianity teaches about, the physical body, the spiritual body, the resurrected body, the work also has its various bodies, like we're in an envelope or a sheath. And if you think about the spectrum, electromagnetic spectrum, and what happens when the body dies and that shift into that, and how matter gets transformed into a different kind of energy, it really makes death a beginning, an extraordinary beginning, and brings a joy to life that I'm quite attracted to. So thank you very much. And then Jill. Tamara, go ahead.
So I just love Ilya. The fact that she has her education in theology and in physics has such a it's so great that we have somebody that is able to integrate those two, because I mean I was in the generation when we were growing up and you didn't even talk about the Big Bang Theory, you know, and now it's just it's just an elemental to the Christianity and the way we talk about Christianity now. But a couple of things that I really loved about listening to Ilya this time around was when she was talking about how we are evolving, human nature, we are evolving, but also God is evolving as well with us. So it kind of reminds me of our how we talk about how we reciprocity, the sorrow of our common father, and how are we healing the sorrow of our common father, and the things that we do in the work, the things we do in the church. I mean, it kind of reminds me how important our work is, because we've got that reciprocity, that we're helping God as he's helping us evolve. And then another thing that I love, well, first of all, I have to say I love Ilya because she's so approachable. And she's just so amazingly intelligent, but so full of love and so approachable. I was here when she spoke last time, and, I read the book just over and over again to make sure I could kind of understand it, but I still don't completely understand all the things she's talking about. But I do, I, I, uh, But I do find she's approachable, and you can ask her questions, and I love that about her. She touched on the next generation again this time, and I'm very, you know, concerned with the next generation and religion and spirituality, because, you know, with my children being exposed to different religions, she brought up a good point to me, and that was that religion is kind of fading away. It's becoming more of a spirituality, only because of the dogmas and the rules that have been placed on, you know, because I feel that with my children, that they have this, they're just full of spirituality and love, and I feel like that they get, their spirit is kind of not able to flourish because of a lot of the rules of religions, and so they've kind of, you know, walked away from that a little bit, but they've certainly, growing up in this church, they kept their spirituality, and as far as like doing centering prayer, they still do that. But I thought it was so interesting that she brought that up, because, you know, what is going to happen? What is happening? And, you know, religion is evolving. We're evolving. The universe is evolving. And frankly, what we've gone through over the past year and a half, I've seen a lot of evolution between them and us. You know, we're starting to see it. I think a lot of people are starting to see there is no them and us. We're all one. And so, anyways, I think she brought up a lot of good points mm-hmm. that helped me a lot.
Thank you, Tamara. I really appreciate you sharing. Jill.
I heard a lot of what Tamara heard as well. I'll focus on the experiential and relational piece. I really loved that amidst all of these big ideas and cosmic wholeness, that she brought it down into the experience and relationality of Christ. And the slides you showed at the beginning, I thought were really insightful in that, as Tamara said, that law of analogy, as above, so below. And so this cosmic wholeness idea is the same within me. And as I become whole, I start experiencing all of those connections and vibrations. And with Valerie, what she was saying about this something has landed, I've been understanding more and more through more and more time in the silence, a vibrational quality that has landed that is so present, and it is like being plugged in. And it's hard to bear, and I've been feeling this for years, this energy, this vibrational thing, and how do you bear it in this body? And I think that's what this is all about, is connecting with the flow, with that cosmic wholeness, with the ground of being, and then learning to bear it and to be upright, vertical human beings walking around bearing this vibrational energy. So I can't say enough about time in the silence, and I feel like that's where it's like going into that chrysalis and just bearing it, learning to bear it on the mat, to stay still and to feel it and to give it to God. And so to me, it was a very practical understanding of what's going on in my body, and much gratitude for it.
Amen. Yeah, thank you, Jill, for connecting. Anyone else wish to share before we draw? Yes, Deborah Jean.
I understood something with Ilya that I'd never been able to put together before. And I'll probably start crying. But I always sort of in my heart rejected the idea there's only one way to God. And that always felt wrong to me. I couldn't believe that all these other religions would be wrong and condemned to hell or whatever they thought. But she went from that sort of Unitarian idea of God to what happened in duality, which was that splitting apart of religion and science, and this, and we're seeing it in our own world, this polarity, and what it brings, which is nothing good. And what happened to me when she was talking was the understanding of that third force of relationship, and that is the Christogenesis, that what we find, whether you call it Christ or call it Harry or whatever names we get for it in our human experience, it is that relationship that is the love that is eternal. I know this, my expiration date is, you know, looming in the back of my head at all times. And I feel more alive than I've ever felt. How is that possible? Mm-hmm. How is it possible to feel more joyful and more alive when my body doesn't seem to be cooperating? Mm-hmm. But that it is in that love, it is in that relationship. Obviously, that's here in Austin and in this church that's just so beautiful. But it is the relationship with Christ. And people may have different paths to it. That's not my business. It's not my concern. It is the first time I've ever met that relationship in such an intentional way. And like Mary Leah was saying, those circles converge. It is all the same coin. It is not a parts of, we are all a part. We are particles, individual parts, like you said, Peter, but we are in that wave of that relationship, and it's just an incredible experience.
Oh, Deborah Jean, thank you for sharing. That's so sacred, yes.
Thank you all for being a part of this journey.
Bless you on your journey. I think about that, that life, that relationality that is all around us, that's coming from God and in God and through God and is us, with us, as like an aroma. And most of us spend the rest of our lives, having all sorts of different aromas. But then you walk into a room and you really smell some really great home cooking. You don't know where it's coming from. But as you get closer to death, you start smelling that life eternal, that life beyond this life. It's like an aroma, and it's so attractive. Bless you. I think that's a good place to stop. And we'll have further time to have community conversation. And I just wanted to share two things. And then, Billy, I'm going to change the game plan a little bit and actually just stand up and teach the new chant just real quickly. And we'll sing along. It doesn't have to be perfect. We'll just do it, evolving in real time. But I wanted to share that for me, a personal takeaway was the joy that arose in me as I really realized that everything is spiritual, everything, including the cancer, including the dark side. Every single thing is spiritual. And that brought such a joy to me that's hard to describe. And then the other two insights that I took away was how important the responsibility is we have to practice, to keep our contemplative practice as a community. The third was the beauty and the power of spiritual ritual. And then the parallel to that was the wake-up call that our youth, where are our youth? And I ask for the church to really be joining us in prayer that we would know how to evolve things in a way that the youth would be attracted, to evolve the Lord's Prayer, to evolve the Eucharist, all our languaging needs to evolve. And so we need to just join in a community wish together. This is bigger than any one person, but just to the awareness that we have a responsibility to keep evolving and to listen for new ways of languaging things. So with that, I invite you to stand and give your hearts to song. Just join in as you can, just a stretch moment. It goes, just follow along.
I'm going to say the words.
Yeah.
Praise God Creator. Praise Christ the Living One. Praise Holy Spirit, God indwelling.
Praise God Creator. Praise Christ the Living One. Please be seated.
I have come into the world to see this, the sword drop from men's hands. Even at the height of their anger, I have come into the world to hear this. Every song of the earth, wing and hoof, tree and woman and child, to become a being of light, forever entwined and at play with the one. I have come into the world to know this. To love, they know there is just one flesh to wound. I have come into the world to live this, a covenant of hope. Become Christ's hands and feet. To become a being of light, forever entwined and at play with the one. I have come into the world to be this.
Let us now enter into the silence and consent to God's love and presence in action in our lives for 10 minutes of centering prayer. Thank you.
Most gracious and loving Creator God of the heavens and the earth, the cosmos, in this and every moment, we give thanks for the community we feel in the love of silence and the grace that comes to us in the recognition of the presence of love in one another. We ask and remember those who are recovering from surgeries, and we pray especially for divine healing and energetic healing for Dorothy Crummer and for Carlos. We remember especially Herman and Alice Vigil in their time of transition. We remember all who are journeying through cancer, especially our beloved sister Deborah Jean. We thank you for Ilya and her witness and her wisdom. We ask that you would bless her and the Center for Crystallogenesis, and that each of us would experience an awakening more fully to the oneness that is Christ at the heart of the universe. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now and that you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us the faith to pray with that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. I invite you now at this time to uncap the elements and recap the empty cup. Pour out your spirit on these elements, that we may recognize them, receive them, and respond to them as the body and blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate his body to our bodies and his blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit and transform us into your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ, the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me." This is the blood of Christ for us all. Living in eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that transforms and pervades and transcends our very minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God, our Creator and Source, for the glory of God's continuing work here on earth, and so that our joy may overflow. We pray this in your most holy and precious threefold name. Amen. Let's stand and conclude our worship with song.
Saved a soul like me. was blind, but now I see. I can see your love, see it all around. I can see your love.
We take our tithes, gifts, and offerings into our hearts and into our hands, whether we give electronically, online, or by mail, or in the basket as you leave. Let's remember that and declare the truth together over our lives. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. And how blessed we are to simply remember God. Amen. It's great to be surrounded by these youth and this life and this future. The love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit be uniting each of us more deeply into that reality we call God.